I got something I want to share with you tonight. If you have your Bibles, if you'll open them up to a very special passage in Psalm chapter 127. Psalm 127. This is a very special psalm, one of my favorites. If I had to pick a favorite psalm, this would definitely be one of those. Psalm 127. We're going to pick up reading in verse 1. Psalm 127 in verse 1. God's word says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them, and they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." I want to speak to you on this subject tonight just for a short few minutes. A family wisely prepared for war. A family wisely prepared for war. Bow with me as we pray and ask the Lord to bless His word tonight. Father, we are so thankful, Lord, for Your goodness of bringing these clubbers to us night after night this Awana year. Lord, we're thankful for this church. Father, we're thankful for Your word that You inspired holy men of God to write for us. And Lord, we have read a very special passage for the family tonight. Father, I pray that each head of the household, that each man would be a man and would apply what we study tonight. Lord, I pray that each mother would submit to the head of the household and come behind him and live out the truths that we learn. Father, I pray that students would renew their commitment of submission to their parents and unto you. Father, be with us now as we look to your word, Lord, because we do believe that it is good for everything pertaining unto life and to godliness. It's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Friends, we are in a battle for our families. We battle evil forces from which we cannot see. We battle a great wickedness that seeks to tear down and seeks to destroy our homes. We battle the lustful flesh that is always seeking to fulfill its own lustful desires. We battle a crooked world system that was set in motion by our arch enemy, the devil himself, and it silently attacks in the most deceptive ways. We're in a battle for our family. The enemy wants our children to change their gender. The enemy wants our boys to become homosexuals. The enemy wants our girls to explicitly flaunt their bodies like a piece of meat in front of a hungry dog. Our government teaches our children in school that sin is okay. The commercials on TV paint sin as funny and desirable and perfectly okay. We're in a dangerous battle for the minds of our children. So what are we to do? We are not to run and hide. We are not to sulk and cry. We are not to cower down and to give in. We are not to shut up. We are never to be quiet. We are to wisely prepare our family for war. And that is exactly what Psalm 127 does. It shows us how to prepare our home, how to prepare our children, how to prepare our spouse, how to prepare us as parents for war. Now, if you look at Psalm 127, it is likely that Solomon is the author of this great psalm. So you can imagine that it's packed full of wisdom. Wisdom set in the context of both war and family. And I say that because if you look back to verse 1, you will notice the word watchman. Look on to verse 4, you see arrows, mighty men, speaking of warriors. Verse 5, you see a quiver, students, that's a holder for arrows. And then you see enemies. We see a context of war. But it's not only a context of war, but it's a context of the family. In verse 1, you see house. This is the family unit. In verse 3, you see children and the fruit of the womb. In verse 4, you see the word children and youth. In verse 5, you see the pronoun them speaking of children. So this context is a family at war. So the question is, how do we prepare our family? How do we prepare our children? How do we prepare one another for this war that we enter into? Well, the first thing we see in this passage in verse 1 is for our family to be wisely prepared for battle. To be wisely prepared for war, we must have active builders. We must have active builders. Look back to verse 1. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Actually, if you go back to the original Hebrew text and read through verses 1 and 2, it reads something like this. Except that Yahweh builds the house, in vain they labor who build it. Unless Yahweh guards the city, in vain stays awake the watchman. And then in verse 2, it is vain for you to rise early, to rise up, late to sit up, to eat the bread of sorrows. What I want us to see before we comb through verses 1 and 2 is that the sentence structure of verses 1 and 2 is built with in vain first. And if we study Scripture for any amount of time, especially in the original languages, we know that if we put something in the front or first in the sentence, that is the key point. That is the primary focus of that sentence. So if we look back to our first statement, it says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. What we see here is two builders. We see a primary builder and then a secondary builder. The primary builder is none other than Yahweh. It is God Almighty. Unless God builds the house, unless God builds the family, it is vanity. It is vain. Unless His desire is the greatest desire in the family, our family is nothing. Unless He is first in all that we do as a family, our family is empty. Unless His will is all that matters, our family doesn't matter. You see, all is vain. All is useless without the Lord. Yahweh is the primary builder of the family. But Yahweh refuses to build the family alone. Yahweh, look back to verse 1. It's got two builders, Yahweh, God Almighty, and then we see they. The they, it's us as parents. You see, we have been given a great and most important responsibility to build our family. But if our family is not built according to God's design for the family, it will collapse. Just like the great walls of Jericho, it will come tumbling down. And just to get it out of the way here, right up front, there's no room for laziness in a family that's wisely prepared for war. But what makes up, or what marks out a family that is built in this way, or a family that is prepared to enter into this spiritual war that we are going to encounter? Well, I borrowed some of this list of nine marks from Stephen Lawson. I added just a few more. Stephen's just got a way of preaching. A lot of you admire him. I do as well. But I want to give you a list of nine marks of a family that is wisely prepared for war, or nine marks of a family that is built on the Lord. First of all, a family that is wisely prepared for war has conversations. I mean conversions. Conversions, not conversations. We'll get to that in a minute. Conversions. You see, you can't have a Christian family without Christians. Mom, dad, and children must be converted for the entire family to be wisely prepared for war. And if someone is not converted in the family, it must be the top priority of all of the regenerate in that family to present the gospel, to lay everything out in front of that one that is rejecting and let the Lord do His work. A family that is wisely prepared for war is a family with conversion. Secondly, a family wisely prepared for war is a family that has commitment. There must be unquestioned commitment to truth, to the Lord, and to each other in the family. A family must be totally devoted to the Lord and each other if they are going to be prepared for this war. So conversions, commitment, commandments. Oh, how our students need a biblical world view as they enter into this world that they battle in. But friends, a biblical world view can only be developed by knowing the Scriptures, by knowing the commandments, by knowing God's moral law, by knowing the truths that are found cover to cover in this great and mighty book. You see, we must raise the Scriptures to such a level in our home that there are no options but to follow it. We must have commandments in our home. Number four on our list, we must have conversations. We must have good, godly conversations. A family that is prepared for this war that we are fighting must consistently and constantly have conversations about the Lord. We as parents must direct, listen to this, we must direct every conversation we can back to the Lord. If they disobey, what does the Lord say about that? If they want to do something that's wrong, don't let them just hear from us. Let them hear from the Word of God. We must direct all conversations back to the truth because the truths found within His book, they're good for everything pertaining unto life and the godliness. For everything we encounter, there's either a verse or a principle that we can go by in the Bible. Conversations. Next is chastisement. A family that is wisely prepared for war has discipline. You know the old saying, spare the rod and spoil the child. It's true. But over the years I have learned, you spare the rod and you destroy the family. That's right. If we as parents do not teach our children while they are young that there are painful consequences for bad decisions, they will grow up making those bad decisions. They will grow up thinking that they can do what they want, when they want to do it, how they want to do it. They will be the unruly college kid. They will be that defiant worker, that abusive spouse, that rebel citizen, that troublemaking church member. A family wisely prepared for war must have discipline as a core value. But not only chastisement or discipline, a family that is wisely prepared for the Lord has charity. Has charity. Oh, how the family needs to be a safe haven of love. Paul says in the familiar passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity or love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Students, that's musical instruments that don't do what they're supposed to do. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Friends, love must be the greatest commandment of our home. Love for God, love for family, love for others. There's some old sayings. First of all, discipline without love is cruelty. Relationships without love is nothing more than hypocrisy. Obedience without love is nothing more than unwilling submission. You see, love never fails. It should drive us to discipline. It should drive us to have godly conversations. It should drive us to seek conversions from within our family because we truly love for all of our family members. Love or charity. Number seven on our list is compassion. Compassion. Compassion is defined as a sympathetic concern for others. Oh, how our family needs to be full of compassion. You see, that child that may have been bullied at school needs to know that they can come home to a house that is full of family members, that is sympathetically concerned for them. A spouse that has had that hard day at work needs to know that when they enter into that home, the home is concerned about them. A family wisely prepared for war must be full of compassion. Number 8, a family must be full of cleanliness. Cleanliness. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." You see, all of the adjectives in this list, all of them describe cleanliness. True, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, praiseful. And if you read on in verse 9 of that same passage in Philippians chapter 4, these virtues, they are learned. So parents must teach. Parents, we must demand that cleanliness be maintained within the walls of our home and even outside of our home. Cleanliness. Number 9, last but not least on our list, a family that's wisely prepared for war is involved in church. And I can't emphasize this truth enough. According to Hebrews 10:25, we must be habitually involved in church. We must gather together with warriors of like mind and fellowship with one another. We must worship the God we love and serve together with the one body, united in our one faith in our one God. And we must do this together as a family. We must submit to the command of Hebrews 10:25 and habitually gather together. So when we think about our family, is it marked out by these 9 marks? Do these 9 words, conversions, commitments, commandments, conversations, chastisement, charity, compassion, cleanliness, and church, do those 9 words describe the family we are building? And if it don't, we are leaving God, the master builder, out of our family. I got about a third of the way through where I wanted to be tonight, but I'm well aware of the time. So how do we apply this passage? Well, I think that we can apply this passage doing 2 things. First of all, we must do a family evaluation. The first 2 verses, if you go on and read through verse 2, it brings into focus our total dependence on God. He should be in the forefront of everything that we do. But He will not force Himself there. He will not force Himself to be number 1 in our family. So where does God rank in our family? Better yet, what do the actions of our families say that God, what do the actions of our family tell us that God ranks in? Family evaluation and then family sanctification. You know, the ingredients for sanctification is quite simple. Less sin and more of God. Less sin, more of the Bible. Less error, more truth. Progressive sanctification happens when we daily turn from sin and to the Word of God and allow the Spirit to transform us from the inside out. So is it possible to do this as a family? And it is. I want to take us just a quick journey, just real quickly. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, there's several passages that speak to what we're trying to look at, a family that is progressively being sanctified. We can't set the context for all of these, but I want us to specifically see God's design of sanctification for the family. Exodus chapter 12, and let's pick up our reading in verse 26. Exodus 12, in verse 26, it says, "And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed their head and worshipped. You see, the children asked their parents, what are we doing? What is the meaning of this? Go to Exodus 13 and verse 14. Exodus 13 and verse 14. And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? That thou shalt say unto him, by strength, out of the Lord, brought us out of Egypt from the house of bondage. Again, a child asking their parents, what is all this about? Why are we doing this? Now flip on over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6, beginning in verse 6. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6. It says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. The parents teach their children. Now flip on over to Joshua 24. We're about done. Joshua 24 and verse 15. I love this passage. 24 verse 15. Joshua says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, the parents decide if the house is going to serve the Lord or not. That decision is on us. We set the pace. We lay the path for our children to follow. Now turn on over back to Psalm where we was a few minutes ago. Psalm, I'm going to go to 78. Psalm 78 and verse 2. Psalm 78. And verse 2. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have learned and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength, and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, and they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works, but keep his commandments. You see, first the word is taught, and then that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. How can we ever expect our children, no matter what the age, to keep God's commandments if we don't daily teach them, if we don't daily encourage our children to walk in them? The responsibility of truth, the truth of God's word, passing it down, it lies not on the school system, even in a Christian school. It lies not in the world. It doesn't even lie primarily on the church. It is the family. The family is to pass on the truth to their children. No matter what the age is, we are going to have influence in our children's life until we pass on from this life and enter into the next life. We are to pass the truths of the scriptures on to our children. We are to have family worship time and devotions together. We are to pray together. We are to talk about the Lord in our home. We are to honor God in all of our conversations with our children of all ages. Now this is a high and it's a hard calling. But we must answer this call. If we are going to raise up the next generation of Christian warriors that are going to know the Lord and serve the Lord, train others to know and to serve the Lord, and fight this battle we are fighting. You know, Jesus prayed in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You see, a family that's wisely prepared for war is a family that is wisely devoted to truth. Truth. Objective truth. That is truth that is not dependent on anything that we think or anything that we say. God has set the bar high. His bar does not change. It remains forever, and we must teach it to our children. Now, instead of doing an invitation, I know it's 8:09. I'm well aware of that. But what I like to do, every one a year, we like to get our families together and we like to pray. It's once a year that we get to do this. So I'm going to ask our families, all those that are willing, I want us to come to the altar and pray. And this is families of all ages. The whole church can come, but I want us to come with Bibles in hand this time. I want us to make a commitment to the Lord that we are going to take the Bible and we're going to teach it to our children. I'm here to testify. We was in the habit of doing devotions. I don't know how many minutes of night. We've did them ever since the children have been born. But we took it just a step further. And we sat down at the kitchen table. And I started teaching my family how to study the Bible. And it has been a huge blessing to me to be able to do that. So I encourage each and every head of the household that's in here, teach your family how to study the Bible. Take that responsibility and take it seriously. Take the Word of God, open it, read it, and let's teach our wives and teach our children the Word. And if you're a single parent home, my heart goes out to you, but you can't quit. You got to keep going. You got to keep trying. You got to do the best that you can to fulfill two roles. You don't have a choice. So we're going to ask you to come up, and this is going to be a time of silence. We're going to pray together as a family. Our pastor is going to have a mic, and he will close us out in a word of prayer together. I know it's a little bit awkward from what we normally do, but we're going to do that tonight if you're willing. So my family is going to come up, and anybody else that wants to grab their family and come up with your Bible in hand, and we will pray together here at the altar.